Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Not to be muddled or mistaken or confused with a reading we heard in the funeral yesterday. That was a reading, I think it was the Dean of Windsor read from Ecclesiasticus. And that is some other literary form. It's outside of Scripture. We come tonight to God's Word that speaks into every part of our lives. If you're interested, the Ecclesiasticus is basically a philosophical observance of life. And if you listen carefully, it talked about nature, talked about Mother Nature and how Mother Nature is able to oversee all that happens within the universe and within the world. Well, of course, we know, because Scripture teaches, that it's not Mother Nature, but it's our Father God who oversees and sustains and gives the times and the seasons. And so we're thankful. We saw in Ecclesiastes 3 that there is a time for every season and every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And we see there that God regulates the rhythm of life. Now, this morning, we were considering the road to recovery. And so if this morning's message was the road to recovery, and then this evening really is the road to life. And so this, again, short chapter we have for us tonight, we'll just concentrate on the road to life. Now, the structure and the framework, particularly for those who are taking notes, is not so obvious tonight, so I apologise for that. But I have some headings for you, which will help you and certainly help me keep on track. And so, reading this passage, I usually just jot some casual notes down just as we start. Usually on a Tuesday, I'd start preparing for a Sunday evening. It's part of my sort of routine. And so I start scribbling some notes down. And I wrote some scribbles down. And I have them here. They're not mind-boggling. They're just my little notes, my little thoughts. But it might help us as we come to this passage. Be bold. Be happy. Be warned. Be godly. And so if in chapter 10, if you can remember a few weeks ago when we were in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, if we saw chapter 10 was all about being wise, then as we come to chapter 11, these opening verses exhort us and remind us that we need to be bold. We need to be bold. There's an expression, and don't normally endorse a lot of the expressions that come into our society from America. Most of these phrases that particularly young people use, they usually originate in the States. But this one's been around for quite a while. And the expression is, go for it. And so really, verse 1 is encouraging us to go for it. Be wise, chapter 10, now be bold, is an invitation to be enterprising, to seize the moment. Go for it. Let's read verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. It's a curious little expression. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. And I think back to the times pre-lockdown when we would take perhaps the grandchildren or when our own children were little and we'd take them to the local park in Cyfartha or we'd take them to Brynback Park or somewhere and we would throw the bread on the water. If it's Brynback Park, it's for the Canadian geese and they're quite interesting things. And but usually in the local park, You'd cast the bread on the water for the local ducks to enjoy them. Although I am told you're not supposed to feed bread to ducks because it messes up their digestive system. So if you see, if you go to Father Park and you see any ducks floating on the surface, right, it's nothing to do with me or my family. Because every time I preach this message, I always remind people not to feed ducks, not to feed bread to ducks, because it messes up their digestive system. But here we have this curious phrase, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. When you cast bread on the water, we don't expect to see that bread again. It's either consumed by the ducks or the Canadian geese or whatever, or sometimes if it's a river, it'll just float off and never to be seen again. But this is the point, isn't it? That what the writer, what the preacher wants us to remember is that our God is able to do things that no one else can do. He's able to do the miraculous. He's able to do things that we could perhaps only dare dream about or even dare try to imagine. Cast your bread. Go for it. You know, and we'll see this as this chapter unfolds, that actually we need to be, as God's people tonight, we need to be men and women who go for it. We need to be creative. We need to cast our bread. Not to hoard our bread, but to cast it. It's an interesting thing, is that most people like bread. I like carbs, as you can see. Okay? And most people like bread. For me, there's nothing better than being in a baker's. And it's just that smell of freshly baked bread. And you start to salivate. And the smell. Oh, and then you pay for it, and they put it, I don't know, in a paper bag, and they hand it, and it's still warm. Are you with me? And it's just wonderful, isn't it? It's warm, freshly baked bread. And then you dream of getting home and then getting some proper butter, salted. Don't tell the dietitian. Salted Welsh butter. And just let it just melt into. Now, some of you may, because some years ago, people were into baking bread at home, weren't they? Home baking. But and then you realize that you know after you've gone through a loaf, you realize that you're not going to manage the other five that you bought with it. And when it cools, what do? You want to preserve it, and often some of these loaves get put in the freezer. Frozen bread. And you might say, I remember as a child saying to my mother, well, why do you put bread in the freezer? Well, if I didn't, she said, it would go mouldy. And the point here is this, that God doesn't want us to hoard our bread. He wants us to cast our bread. He wants us to go for it. This is an invitation to be enterprising. And what we'll do as we use and cast our bread, then the promise here is this, for you will find it after many days. And you don't expect, if you cast the bread on the waters, you don't expect to see it after many days. But here's a reminder of what God is willing and able to do. Now, of course, we're not just thinking of material, physical bread, but we can relate that to all sorts of things in our lives. Investing our time and our energy, as well as our money and our gifting. Investing with what God has blessed us with our homes, offering hospitality, with all things that God has given us. All that we have, all that we possess, all that we enjoy is His. Go for it. Life is short. Be creative. Be enterprising. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. I am so thankful that in past years, there have been godly men and women who casted their bread upon the waters. They invested in little people, in unlikely people, people like you, people like me. I think back to those godly ladies who taught me in Sunday school, those godly men who helped me in YPF. Remember what YPF was? Young People's Fellowship. I don't know what we call it, a blast here now, isn't it? But I think back. They spent time, they invested time and energy in their gifting, casting their bread. And here we have it, for you will find it after many, many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, verse 2, and you know not what disaster may happen on earth. This is what verse 2 means. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's what it means. Actually spread, as you cast your bread, as you invest, spread your investments. So in ministry, when we're looking to cast the bread of God's word, then we spread it. We don't just go after young people and children. Some churches adopt that approach. We're all out here in this church for children and young people. Or some churches say, oh, we're a student church. Or some churches say, we're focusing on the senior citizens. Or, but cast your bread. And so we should be, if we're a biblical New Testament church, we ought to be casting our bread across the board. From the youngest to the oldest. You know, from the churched and the unchurched. Across the board, old and young, those who understand something of God's word, those who are Bible illiterate, cast your bread. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I've seen over the years, and in actual fact, even being in Park, I'd receive men and women of all ages coming along to church and coming into membership because they were in churches that were going after one small group. Sad, isn't it? You know, and they felt that they weren't being helped or being taught or being fed, but it was all the focus was on one grouping or one small group, and they felt that they were in some measure and in some way was being neglected. Well, we pray that here, that it's across the board, isn't it? And that we don't put all our eggs in one basket, but we share God's word with the youngest to the oldest. We share God's word with men and women. We share God's word with those who are churched and unchurched, those who are in the church, outside the church. We share God's word. But look at verse 3. But if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Now, what's all this about? Well, basically, it talks about, verse 3, it talks about the inevitability of life. If the clouds are full of rain, they will empty themselves on the earth. In other words, we can't stop casting the bread upon the waters if it's raining. We live in Wales, for goodness sake. If we stopped for the rain, we'd never go anywhere or do anything. Buy yourself an umbrella. Buy the biggest umbrella you can find. But there is an inevitability about life, isn't there? Look at verse 4. It talks about the uncertainty of life. You know that he who observes the wind will not sow. Imagine the farmer. Preached on this at a harvest some years ago. Imagine a farmer who basically saying, oh, it's a bit windy today. Won't sow seed today. I'll wait for a day of no wind. What Ecclesiastes here is teaching us, what God wants us to know, is that if we wait for the ideal opportunity, you will be waiting a long time. Let's not wait, we'll wait until we've got more young people. We'll wait until we've got more children. We'll wait until we've got more in the 30s and 40s. We'll wait until we've got some more mature men for offices in the church. We'll wait. And if you wait for the ideal opportunity, you'll wait a long time. Because we've seen that this life is full of uncertainty. We are to seize the moment. We are to seize the hour. We are not to think of thinking of putting it off until tomorrow, but we do it today. My father always used to say, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Make the most of life. Make the most of your health and your strength and your energy. If you have the ability, if you have the moment, the opportunity and the time, then now is the time. Now is the opportunity to cast our bread upon the waters. But don't be like those who procrastinate. Don't be like those who sit and watch the rain come or the clouds come. My grandmother in Breedon near Tewkesbury, she was a funny old lady, really. I loved her to bits. She was my gran. But she always took her cue from Mrs. O'Donnelly. Now, Mrs. O'Donnelly, Monday ladies, years ago, Monday morning was washing day, isn't it? That's it was for my gran. But she'd forever be looking out the window. Pile of washing, twin tub, or whatever it was. None of this automatic washing machines, but twin tub, I think she had, or maybe before that, the old mangle. And she'd have these wet clothes, and she'd be looking out the window, oh, I don't know. What do you think, Ben? That's my grandfather. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be raining? Oh, I don't know. Well, after a while, she took her cue from Mrs. O'Donnelly. Because Mrs. O'Donnelly, she was a good Catholic lady, she was straight out there. Monday morning, whoosh, out. And the clothes are out on the line. And so my gran cottoned on that Mrs. O'Donnelly seemed to understand the weather better than anyone else in Oak Lane. So off it went. Mind you, didn't always work, did it? Sometimes the clothes came in wetter than they went out. But the point is this. If we wait for the ideal moment, if we wait for the ideal opportunity, you'll always just end up waiting. You'll accomplish nothing, achieve nothing, and nothing will get done. And so what God wants us to do is this, that he wants us to do what you can, where you are, with what you have. Do you see that? Do what you can, where you are, with what you've got. Don't wait until you think, oh, well, in 4 years' time, God willing, I might retire, or I might be offered my pension early, and then I'll have a bit of extra money, and I can do all the things that I've dreamt of doing for God. And then what happens? The week before you're due to retire, you die. God wants us to cast the bread upon the waters. Do it now. Do it where you are. Using the things you have. I can't remember whether I told you this story about the pastor and the farmer. I think I probably have. But the point of the story was this. If only I had. So the farmer said to the pastor, if only I had 100 cows. Have I told you this? If only I had 100 cows, I would sell 50 and give the proceeds to the local church. If only I had 100 sheep, I'd sell 50 and give the proceeds to the local church. So the pastor said, well, what would you do if you had 3 pigs? He said, now, that's unfair. You know I've got 3 pigs. And that's the point, isn't it? God doesn't expect you to do things with the resources that he hasn't given you. He wants you to use the resources that you have. He wants to use you. That's humbling, isn't it? He doesn't need to use you or me. But he chooses to use us. Spiritual failures like us. Peters and Pauls like us. Those who get it wrong, those who mess up. He forgives, he restores, he reinstates. He takes us on that road to recovery, and now he takes us on to another road. We're on the road to live life. To live a life that will glorify him. So that people that you work with, people that you live with, people that you encounter and engage with week by week, month by month, that they, perhaps, there are some people that you know, perhaps you're the only believer, you're the only Christian that they know. Now that's quite sobering, isn't it? To think that maybe, just maybe, you are the only believer in Jesus Christ that they know. What do they see? Do they see the reality of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they see something of him in you? That compassion, that love, that care? That humble and gentle determination? Do they see something of Christ in you? They ought to be seeing an invisible God being visible in your life and in my life. Go for it. Go for it. Cast your bread upon the waters. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 is a mystery, isn't it? As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. But don't allow the unknown and the unknowable to paralyze you. That's the point, isn't it? That we can often say, oh, but I don't know. Don't allow the unknown to paralyze you. Catherine Booth, she was the late widow of General Booth, Salvation Army. And on her 103rd birthday, she was interviewed by the BBC. And they said to her, Mrs. Booth, you've lived 103 years. What do you make of all the mystery of life? All the things that we can't fully explain and comprehend and understand. And she replied, Catherine Booth, 103rd birthday, she said, there are many mysteries in life, but even so, you can still, as a Christian, enjoy life. And you say, yeah, okay. I'll run with that, Andy. Then go for it. But do you know what many Christians, they may not say it, but do you know how they live? They don't live, as Catherine Booth was suggesting, that they've known, despite the mysteries of life, they've known the secret of enjoying life. Many Christians, sadly tonight, they live as if they're enduring life. A few years ago, we had a gentleman who was originally a Merthyr man. He left Merthyr 40 years ago, got married, had a family. And in their old age, they came back. Maybe some of you have done something similar. They came back to their roots, or his roots. He came back to the church. And I didn't know, but he was sat there for a few months under my ministry. And he said to me one day, he said, you've got a phrase that you use a lot. I thought, here goes. I said, I'm sure there are many phrases that I use a lot. But there's one phrase that has really resonated with me. And this is the phrase. Are you enjoying God? And he said to me, he said, why do you keep saying that? Are you enjoying God? And I said, well, I'll tell you why. Because I believe God wants us to enjoy him. And he wants us to enjoy life rather than endure it. And he said, I do enjoy life. To which I said, well, why don't you tell your face that? You see, some Christians walk into the workplace on a Monday morning. And I'm not suggesting we go around life with a thick, stupid grin on our face. Because life is serious. Life can be painful. But there is inner joy. There is contentment. Happiness is to know the Saviour. Living a life within his favour. Happiness is to know the Lord. A smile. I've lost count over the years of just smiling at someone has led to a conversation about the Lord. I spoke to a man here recently, walking past. I smiled. Morning! Why did you say that? I said, because I was just being polite. Okay, he said. Off he went. I was in Cardiff recently. Did a similar thing, a lady walking past. I was talking to a friend. And as she went by, eye contact. Morning. She stopped, she said. Why did you say that? Just being polite. Say morning. She went. 10 minutes later, she came back. I still stood there talking to my friend. She said, excuse me, she said. We're outside the Heath Chapel, Heath Church. She said, do you know what goes on in this place? I said, yes, I do. What goes on? Oh, so it's a church. Preach the gospel. She said, it's a weird thing, this. Every time I walk past this church, I've got a desire to go in. But every time I walk past this church, it's closed. Because she walks past it on the way to work and on the way home from work. It's closed. I said, do you want to go in? Yeah. I said, this man, he can get you into that church. Yeah, she said, but what do you do? Oh, you need to come Sunday. You'll see what happens. I introduced her to Fiona, the ladies' worker there. And that lady's been going ever since. It started with a smile. Joy down in my heart. Joy. Now is the opportunity. Now is the time. Cast your bread upon the waters. Look at verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So what do we have here? Not go for it, but stick with it. Do you see where we're going now? No longer go for it, but stick with it. Stick at it. Don't just work in the morning and think, oh, I've done a bit there, that'll do. Keep at it. Stick with it. Stick at it. For how do you know which one will prosper? How do you know which one God will take and use? So we have to diversify. In Christian ministry, we have to diversify. Go for it. But we cast the bread upon the water. We have to diversify. We have to pray and ask the Lord to show us ways in which we can engage with people. And that's what it's about. How can we engage with people? How can I engage with people out there? But it's not just how can I, but how can we? Not just saying, oh, well, you know, let Andy get on with it. It's all right, I'm praying for you, brother. Great. But it's about us, as a body of believers. How do we engage? We've got to diversify. The message remains the same. The seed is the same. Sow the seed. What's the seed? Parable of the sower. Word of God. What about this? Before lockdown, I would have been seen in Merthyr in many of the coffee houses. I'm sure some of the members in part thinking, look at him there. Cappuccino King. Too expensive, really. I'd always invite someone and said, and they was like this. And you rattle the change in your pocket. Shall I get these? I said, oh, I'll get these for you, Pastor. I said, well, that's just as well because I've only got 30 pence in my pocket. I'll get a cappuccino for 30 pence. We don't just sit and talk about the weather and the holidays and the mother-in-law and the kids and the grandkids. Life's too short. Sure, we're interested in those things. But God will give you, as we cast the bread upon the waters, God will weave into conversation and grant you opportunities to very naturally sow gospel seed. Some sow, others reap. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God makes it grow. Do you see that? Only God can grow a church. Only God can extend his kingdom. Only God can save. Only God can draw. Only God who seeks. Only God who saves and secures and redeems and refreshes and renews and restores and heals. It's God. And he's at work. I was so excited. Something happened on Friday, and it was exciting for me. I'm sure it was exciting for Viv. But in the evening, I had a text message that was just a little reminder, a little nudge from the Lord saying, I'm aware, I know, everything will be well. And I ran downstairs, and Viv was there, and David was there, I'm not sure where Gwen was, and I turned the TV off. The Lord's at work, I said. Now, you'd think my family would be excited about that, wouldn't you? Well, hang on a minute, I was watching that. Well, never mind that. God is at work. Isn't that what I want to hear? Lord is at work. He works in mysterious ways. He works in ways that we're unaware of. And he takes seed, and in some cases, he takes seed that was sown not just last week or last month, but years ago. When they discovered Tutankhamun's tomb, they found some seeds that had been lying dormant for hundreds and hundreds of years. And someone took those seeds, put them in fresh soil, watered them, and they produced fruit. So it is, my friend, with the word of God. So gospel seeds sown from this church, from this pulpit, in the last 50, 100 years, can often lie dormant. And yet God, in the moment, by his Spirit, he brings life from that seed. There's power in the word of God. There's power in the gospel. It's a gospel of grace. It's a gospel of truth. There's life in the seed. Some years ago when I was doing an awful lot of funerals in Merthyr because no one else seems to, was no other ministers were seemed to be interested in doing it. And I go and see families and say, oh, hang on a minute, no preaching. No preaching? So that's what I am. I'm a preacher, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No preaching. So what's your understanding of preaching? And they tell me, well, they listened to a man who'd speak for 40 minutes and didn't have a clue what he's on about. Didn't mention their mother or father or relative who died. I said, I promise you, that won't happen with me. I will talk about two people. I will talk about your loved one that's died. And I'll talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's fine, they said. And I'd recite off by heart passages of scripture. And I'd say, listen to the Lord Jesus. Listen to what he says to grieving people. And I'd recite, I don't know, 14, 15 verses of John 14. Fabulous, he said. And afterwards I'd say, well, that's all in the Bible. And Lenny said to me once, she said, do you know, she said, if you told me at the beginning you were going to read from the Bible, I'd have switched off. Gospel truth, power in the seed, let's not sit on our hands, let's diversify, let's go for it, let's stick at it. And let's sow and see what God can and will do. Light is sweet, verse 7. It's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. We love to see the sun, don't we? My goodness. Who wants to live in the dark? But friends, if you're a Christian tonight, you've been brought from darkness into his marvellous light. We are children of light. We come into the light. And the light's exposed our sin. And yet by faith in Jesus Christ, we found redemption and forgiveness. So look at verse 8. Verse 8, enjoy. See, that's my next little heading. Go for it, stick at it, enjoy it. But we're in Wales. You know, it wasn't until I came to Wales, and I don't know, I was in a coffee shop somewhere, a lady would come and plonk the tea or the coffee on the table, and then she'd say this, enjoy. I didn't know what was going on. I'm a grammar school boy, educated. Enjoy? Well, that's not grammatically right, is it? Enjoy it. Well, we've got retired teachers here, they'd know better than me. Enjoy it. Enjoy. Live in the valleys, enjoy. You come to verse 8, enjoy. In the midst of the striving and the struggles and the suffering, in the midst of a fallen and sinful, rebellious world, and us having to battle with the sin that so easily besets us, that lurks within our hearts, God says, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. And it's really interesting to see how the flow of the text is gaining momentum now to help us with the conclusion of the whole matter. And the theme is, remember. So if you're young tonight, enjoy the time that God gives you. Enjoy being young. Enjoy being a sponge soaking in the truths of God's word. Enjoy being around other Christian young people. Enjoy living in a Christian home. Enjoy being part of a wider church family. Enjoy. Because what will happen is that as we get older, there's days of darkness and days of sorrow that will come over us. And the hymn writer quotes it and writes it and reminds us of it. Days of darkness still come over me. sorrow's path I often tread. But even in the midst of that, life with its struggles and striving and sinfulness, life with its uncertainty, but the Saviour still is with me. By his hand, I'm safely led. I wish I enjoyed my teenage years more than I did. I wish I appreciated the awesome privilege of being raised in a Christian home more than I did. I wish I'd spent more time with my Christian grandparents more than I did. And so it's a reminder from Scripture, isn't it? Enjoy. Enjoy health and strength whilst you have it. Because part of the consequences of living in a fallen world is sickness and disease and death. Make the most of each day that God gives you. Cast your bread upon the waters. Look at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know this, that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. In other words, we need to be careful how we live our lives, even as youngsters. Chill out. My next little phrase. Chill out. Mum, Dad, chill out. Grandparents, chill out. Young people, there are times when you are allowed to chill out. But here's the solemn reminder that all that we do, all that we enjoy, all that we experience, all that we think, all that we say, everything, all these things God will bring into judgment. I read this about teenagers in Wales. Relationships bedevil them. Family life forsakes them. Ruthlessness consumes them. Suicide attracts them. And that's the sad reality for many teenagers and many young people in Wales tonight. Relationships bedevil them. Family life forsakes them. Ruthlessness consumes them. And suicide attracts them. But remember, when you come to chapter 12, remember your Creator when you are young. Remember tonight there is more to life than we see. Remember tonight that God has a significant plan and purpose for you and for me and for each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. Look at verse 10. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Frustration, anxiety, worries, and cares. All these things can consume us, not just as young people, but for older people. All these things can be so all-consuming. Cast your care on Jesus today. You see, burdens are lifted at Calvary, and Jesus is so near. He's so close. He's so near. He stands amongst us. So friend, life is worth the living because our Lord Jesus Christ lives. Be bold. Be happy. Be warned. Be godly. Go for it. Cast your bread. Stick at it. Enjoy it. And remember this word, God's word, will never return empty. Go for it. Stick at it. Enjoy it. And remember your Creator whilst you have time. Well, we're going to close by singing our last hymn together. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Let's stand as we listen to this lovely hymn.